following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald, Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday. We're talking basketball. We're talking football. Major League Baseball opening day today. We'll be giving you our predictions because they're usually just right spot on. Kevin Kugler, Dial Global, who was at the Louisville game yesterday. We'll talk about the injury. We'll talk about the best team left in the tournament. And we'll talk about why they are the only number one seed left still standing. We'll also talk with Matt Coatney. They're back from Virginia, where they lose to Duke, and we'll talk about that. I'm with Jim Langan again. April Fool's Day. Happy April Fool's Day.
Yeah, you too.
So far, I'm clean. 11 hours through, nothing crazy.
Yeah, I haven't had a thing done yet. You know, now that wasn't true when I was an elementary principal. You know, St. Patrick's Day and April Fool's Day. I mean, you'd have about three to 400 of them by now.
Just forget about it, huh? That's pretty much the whole day.
Yeah.
Here's my question. I'll throw this out there. This isn't the poll question, but this is my question to Nebraska fans out there. And we'd love to hear from you however you want to do it. You can call us, 888-455-ESPN. That's 888-455-3776. Of course, the email is always there. The Dent Popper inbox, home of the arm aligning. You can email us anytime. Doug and Daddy. You spell out the word and. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You can Facebook us at ESPN Superstation, and you can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. When in any sport, and I was trying to bounce this around in my head, and I think we might have even brought this up at the Big Ten Championship game, but we discussed this last week with a variety of people. We discussed it with the players. We discussed it with the analysts. We discussed it when we talked Nebraska women's basketball. They got to the Sweet 16, but didn't take that next step. The football team has gotten to the championship game, but hasn't taken that next step. The volleyball team, it's been a while for them. When was the last significant win for Nebraska in any sport? And I know I'm probably missing something. It might even be obvious. But when was the last take that, and by significant, I mean take that next step. Go to that spot you haven't been either ever in the women's basketball program, which would be the Elite Eight, or in a long time, like Nebraska going to a BCS football bowl game, not a championship game, just a bowl. Taking that next step. I'm not talking about going from step number three to step number 10 in a 10-step process. I'm talking about taking that next step. What was the last team that did that? I mean, I'm watching the Creighton men. And the Nebraska women looked exactly the same against Duke. If you were going to beat Duke on that night, Nebraska played well enough defensively, they just couldn't make any shots. Duke men shot 30% against, or Creighton men shot 30% against Duke. The Nebraska women shot 30% against Duke. And I can see how fans get frustrated. They're still good teams, even really good teams. But there hasn't been any excitement of that next step that I can remember for a long, long time.
Yeah, that's probably a fair question, Doug. It really is. I think that is a fair question. I think, you know, people are probably frustrated a little bit with the Nebraska men's basketball program. You look at all of the other teams that participate and have at least had that one time where they're going, hey, you know, the baseball team made it to the College World Series. You know what I mean? And you're talking about, hey, when are you going to make that next step, and when are you going to do that? And, you know, Nebraska basketball at that one time, you know, won the big the Big 12 or the Big 8, you know, when they were the champions, and they won it that one time and entered the 3 seed and get beat first round by the 14th seed, you know. And so I guess what your question is kind of tough, because whenever you lose that next game, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, whenever you do that, whenever you lose that next game, that was the thing. Hey, when are we ever going to get to do that? I know the very first year I coached, we were a district champion. You know, when I was a young kid at the time and didn't really realize, you know, hey, maybe what had happened, you know, and how hard it was to do that. And we beat a team, you know, that year and upset a number one seed. But then eventually, you know, when you upset people, it's hard to go to the next step because you are a prohibitive underdog. I mean, you know, Wichita State is going to be playing Louisville. Okay, now, they got to the next step, so we're going to give them credit for getting to the Final Four. But, boy, to get to the Final Two, you know, it's a lot harder to do that now because you're playing somebody usually that's quite a bit better than you. So it's a fair question, but I don't know if there's really a fair answer to that either.
Wichita State is a perfect example. Creighton's been beating their head against the wall ever since the program became any good. And all of a sudden, and they beat Wichita State twice this year, won the conference tournament championship from them, won in the final regular season game in Omaha to claim the outright conference championship. Yet here's Wichita State in the Final Four, and Creighton's got to be sitting around there with exhaustion. Fumes in the back of it, you know, they're just going, how did this happen? You know, bad draws, bad luck, bad bounces, cold shooting night. There's something to be said. You know, when you have your kind of your worst game or one of your worst offensive games, well, there's a reason. You're playing a good team, and there is that nerve factor. There is that big stage factor. Even when the Nebraska women made their first Sweet 16 4 years ago, they were a number one seed, and they started the year 30-0. They were expected to go even farther, which was the problem with that team. They were expected, because of the way the year went, to take the jump from step two to step seven in 1 year, and they didn't. They got knocked off by Kentucky. But is the Nebraska baseball team's first College World Series win, is that the last? Is that the last one? I mean, football, volleyball, either basketball, wrestling, baseball. Well, when was the last significant win?
You know, I know, I'm trying to go back a ways, and this will age me quite a bit, but you know, when Bob Devaney was coaching, he had some significant wins, because just beating a Big Ten team like Michigan or you know, excuse me, but beating some people, but yeah. His biggest game in 1970 was a tie at Southern Cal.
Yeah.
We tied him 21-21. Southern Cal was that really huge program on the road, then went on and won the national championship, but beat LSU 17-12. You know, then, you know, without beating Oklahoma 35-31, I mean, that game could have gone either way. Look at these NCAA games that could go either way. You win in overtime, you lose. Look at Michigan right now. I mean, did Michigan outplay Kansas?
Well, that was a great game, but yeah. Kansas should be in the final. I mean, who makes 30-footers?
But, you know, last year Kansas was in the finals.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, and they also beat a Purdue team. So, I mean, Kansas has been winning and going back and forth. So that's why your question's fair. You know, but Nebraska, when they beat Oklahoma 35-31, that was a significant win. I mean, we ended up beating Alabama 38-6. You know, to play for the national championship, when you go back and you look at it, the Oklahoma 35-31 game, Tom Osborne's, he went a long time without that significant win. You know, we finally beat Miami, I think, 24-17 in the bowl game to get his national champion.
He beat Oklahoma. That was his first significant win.
Yeah, probably.
That was in the 78. And so Mark fires off to the Dent Popper inbox, probably when the baseball team made the College World Series. Dustin says, most recent landmark win for a Nebraska team that I can recall was the baseball team's first win in the College World Series. And what's that been? 8 years ago? 9 years ago? First win that Nebraska had? That's kind of a while, isn't it? Nebraska has had a chance. It seems like that's what's frustrating, and I get asked that, and that comes up many times on the air, off the air. Nebraska has put themselves in a variety of positions to take that step. I mean, keep losing the championship game, keep getting beat, right? You get to that spot, you're good. Your teams are good for a long, long time, but they're never great. And it's hard to say that this Wichita State team is great. It's hard to say that this Michigan team is great. You can say Syracuse is, because they were number one earlier this season. Michigan, they were there as well. Louisville, they were there as well. But
you're talking about significant wins. And let's be honest, Wichita State's win, when they beat Gonzaga, was significant.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then they
but
get
to trump it with Ohio State.
Yeah, and then to get it and to win that and to get to the final, which has got to be significant for them. Now, I don't know if it's significant for Michigan. They've been in this thing before. But it still means when you get to the Final Four, I think any team that gets to the Final Four, and unfortunately, I know people, some teams like a Duke, looks at their season and go, oh, man, this is kind of a tough year. No, that was a great year. You made it a long ways. You made it to the Elite Eight. And those athletes that he coached weren't as good as Louisville's athletes. Let's be honest about that. You know, Louisville really stepped up and just dominated the second half.
And, again, you look at a lot of these instances that we've kind of brought up, except for the Nebraska women when they played Kentucky in 2010. All the football games in the championship, Nebraska was the underdog. The women were an underdog yesterday. The baseball team has always been an underdog when it went to the College World Series, probably in almost but not all of the games that they played. So there you go.
You know, our volleyball team has always been extremely competitive and ranked in the top 20 and have probably some huge significant wins because I think they beat some number one teams during this stretch. I wish I knew the history of it a little bit better. I do know Nebraska. I remember the day when Nebraska beat Missouri at Missouri and Mo Ibe was coaching. It was in 83.
Yeah.
And not only, they lost to them on a last second shot in Lincoln and turned around 2 weeks later and beat them by about 16, 18 points. That was a significant win. It was. I did say Mo Ibe's job. You know what I mean?
Well,
but it did. It was a significant win. It was a huge win on the road.
Bill says, I thought the win over Minnesota on the final game at the Devaney Center was significant. A few wins like that might help some young person consider staying home instead of going to Louisville. Yes, big win. It's a good win. It's not a big win. It's not a significant win. It's not a program-changing win.
Well, you know, there's a lot of players that left their state. And a lot of them were from Kansas that came to Nebraska to play football when Tom Osborne was coaching. You know, I mean, that's where you wanted to play. You wanted to play at Nebraska. And so a lot of people were leaving their state to come to Nebraska. And right now, people like to go to Kentucky. They want to go to Kentucky or Louisville or Duke. You know, we had a great player from Grant, Nebraska, that was highly recruited and went to Duke. So,
Bill Jackman.
To say that Nebraska is the number one recruiting place in college basketball is not true. You know, there's some other places people will go first.
Well, let's look at our Doug and Daddy Bracket Challenge as we go into the Final Four here. And KM Hartman still has the lead, but with Ohio State as the champion over Michigan, going to be some trouble. Louisville, prime time, spelled with Y's, prime time. That is right now your significant leader because they had Louisville, Florida, Syracuse making it to the Final Four. And Ohio State is the other team. I mean, to have two of these Final Four, and if you got more than two, good job, prime time. But in the end here, they've got more potential points, and they've got Louisville winning it. You've got Shanker, who's still in there with Louisville and Michigan, but has Miami winning it. Yoakum has Michigan winning it. So if Michigan can win it all, setting good there. Happy Gilmore, Hawkeye Chad, Farmer Jim, JCJ, they all have Louisville. Easy Cheese has Louisville. But it's a little nobody. Outside of Yoakum, has two teams that has his championship matchup left. He's got Michigan over Louisville here in the top 10. So we'll see how it all plays out for that 50-inch HD TV from Russell's Appliance. And, of course, many more great items that we're going to be giving away to a variety of folks with the Doug and Daddy Bracket Challenge.
Doug, does anybody in that top group have Syracuse winning the thing, can win the tournament?
No.
No one has? Okay.
No. Mark says, the Creighton fans here are whining that they could have made it if they would have had the same draw as Wichita State. No, Creighton, you could have beat Duke. You could have beaten Duke. You had to shoot the ball better. Doug McDermott made four buckets. I mean, whatever. If they beat a number one seed, don't down Wichita State, Creighton fan. Don't down Wichita State. Before we go to break here, Jimmy, what did we expect? We expected a wild tournament, a crazy tournament where the number one seeds were just somebody had to be. We should not be surprised that there's a 4-4 and a 9 going to the Final Four.
You know, I guess, you know, I'm surprised there's that 9 that's going. I told you on the air last week that I thought I could have got the ticket. you know what I mean, if I would have played, you know, the combination of a four with five, with four, with five.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is expensive, you know, but it does. I think you could have got the ticket. Wyden never had the ticket because Wichita State, even though they were the 9 seed, I might not have picked them even if I could have picked all 9. I might have gone somewhere else. I might have grabbed an 11 or a 10 or something like that.
No doubt.
Well, Wichita State was a surprise. I sat there at Mandalay Bay and looked at 200-1 on Wichita State, and I didn't get up and put $1 on them.
No.
Yeah, I didn't get out of my chair.
I thought Pittsburgh could make a run. That's who they played in the first round. And Wichita State just shot the ball better than Pittsburgh did on that day, both physical teams. So, you know, Syracuse number one. I thought that would be the toughest game for Indiana, and then they took care of Marquette. You know, when your conference teams are going to know each other a little bit better. Michigan, you know, they got a little lucky. They fell behind by Kansas and hit just some amazing shots down the stretch. But still, the most, whatever you want to say about the men's tournament, the most amazing thing that happened over the weekend was the Baylor women being upset last night. Maybe the greatest upset in the history of the women's tournament, and Baylor is out. And, of course, the refereeing wasn't good, according to Kim Mulkey, for Baylor. And she's probably right about that. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll talk with Matt Coatney about the Husker women's game yesterday with Duke and their season. Kevin Kugler joins us in the second half of the show to talk about the Final Four. And we make our World Series and Major League Baseball picks. It's all coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Fram knows there are smooth roads, dirt roads, roads less traveled, and roads begging to be driven. Fram knows there are fast drivers, cautious drivers, drivers with a destination,
turn right ahead,
and drivers who are lost. That's why, no matter what you drive, no matter how you drive, no matter what oil you use, there's a Fram oil filter that helps keep your engine healthier longer. Find your Fram oil filter at your local automotive store.
Terry Bradshaw here. In football, you can't win without a strong team backing you up. Today, I'm talking to Kevin, a licensed plumber, about how the team over at Ferguson, the leader for plumbing, waterworks, and HVAC supplies, gives him a winning edge.
Ferguson makes it easy. I order my supplies online and pick them up at my local branch or have everything delivered.
Plus, your online orders earn points for cool stuff like electronics and event tickets.
Yeah, ordering online saves me time, too.
You heard the man. Go check out Pro Plus at Ferguson.
The Dial Global Radio Network is your home for the 2013 NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament.
Zeroes on the clock, and there it is! Baylor has won the Women's College Basketball National Championship! Picture perfect! 40-0!
Who will take on the title this year? Tune in here to find out.
The Final Four and Championship game on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Partly sunny skies coming up in our forecast for today with a high temperature near 46 degrees. And then for tonight, expect partly to mostly cloudy conditions with a low of 22. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Sam Donaisky. Right now it's 32.
Baseball season's underway. Oh, you poor Cub fans. I love, that's one of the things about social media. They're already posting that they're out of the playoff race. Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you here on this program that we call the Doug and Daddy Show. And we are pleased to welcome back Matt Coatney here, who I know is not rooting for the Cubs today. Matt, good morning.
You know, I've got a lot of friends who are Cub fans, and all I can ask them to do is rest well. And there are plenty of mental hospitals in the greater Nebraska area that they can go to. As a lifelong St. Louis Cardinal fan, it's always very amusing to me to talk to Cub fans, and today is a great day of hope for everybody, but it's one of the greatest days in the world, the opening day of baseball season. I love it.
Now, are you dedicated enough that you will stay up with that first pitch at 9 o'clock Central Time at Arizona to watch opening night?
I won't miss a pitch of it. I mean, there's no way. Well, what you have to understand is my father took a shortwave radio to World War II at the South Pacific just to listen to St. Louis Cardinal games on the radio. He grew up in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and his stepfather took him to minor league games in Fort Smith. I mean, you get disowned from my family if you're not only not a Cardinal fan, but really, truly indebted into the team. So it's it's a pretty big deal in my house and my family.
Well, Matt, before we talk specifically about the game yesterday and the season as a whole, even a bigger shocker happened last night. Baylor's women going down because they had been beaten earlier this year. It is or it isn't the biggest upset in tournament history?
Not the biggest upset in tournament history. The biggest upset in tournament history was 16 beating a 1 when Harvard beat Stanford on Stanford's home floor, when Stanford's head coach Tara Vanderveer took the year off to go coach the Olympic team. There's no way a 16 beating a 1 isn't the biggest one. It's not the biggest because Jeff Walls, the head coach for Louisville, is, I hate to say an up-and-coming coach because he's been in a national championship game, but he's one of the brightest young stars in the game. And I know Jeff very well. He's a very good friend of mine. He used to be an assistant coach here at Nebraska about 13 years ago. He had a very, very good game plan designed around how to beat Baylor. You know, it's an upset. It's a huge upset. It's a titanic upset. But I certainly think Harvard's upset of Stanford back in the 1990s would be a little bit bigger.
Talking with Matt Coatney, voice of the Husker women. Unfortunately, their season came to an end yesterday, and we made a big deal about it on the show last week and even when the tournament was drawn out, and it was a nice win, a very well-played game against A&M. But they come up short of taking that next step, which they might do next year with a lot of these kids coming back. What was the, besides shooting 30%, which is the obvious stat, what was so different about playing so well against A&M and offensively not getting it done yesterday?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, I think I even mentioned on this show, Duke's matchup zone is one of the best in the country. They were 26th in the nation in scoring defense. They had only allowed teams to score 53.2 points per game coming in. That's second all-time in the ACC. They bring the help from many different places, and the way they recover is unbelievable. Jeff Reach and I were marveling after the game, driving back to the hotel. Elizabeth Williams plays a style of defense that she's probably the only one in the country other than Brittany Griner who can play. They ask her to come out and hedge, you know, at the top of the key or be at the elbow and then come back and recover on the baseline. She's athletic enough to do it. She's a two-time ACC Defensive Player of the Year. It's hard to deal with trying to game plan about, you know, it's really like playing six players with Elizabeth Williams out there where she can close out and also recover to the baseline. I also think, you know, and really, the team will tell you they don't think this was a big factor, but Hooper had a sprained ankle going into the weekend. She injured it 2 days before the tournament. It wasn't a huge sprain, but then she re-injured it with 8 minutes left to go in the game. I just don't think Jordan was as comfortable going into the game shooting the threes as she was. But let's give a lot of credit to that Duke defense. Joanne P. McCauley and her top assistant, Al Brown, have constructed a defense that year in and year out is one of the best team defenses you're ever going to see. And I think it really affected Nebraska yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's a good point you made. This is Jim Langan, by the way. That's a good point you made because I remember going to coaches' clinics. I used to coach basketball, and I'd sit these coaches' clinics, and people would say, hey, this guy can shoot the three, or these guys can shoot the three. And finally, when they got done, this NCAA coach said, hey, I'm going to tell you one thing right now, guys. Everybody can shoot the three. It's who can guard the three. You know,
yeah,
that's who's going to win these games. And I think sometimes people, when they're watching something on TV, they like the offensive skills and like to see that home run hit or whatever sport you're playing. But they don't understand that what the pitcher's doing to preventing the home run or what that defense is doing to prevent that. And when you start doing that, you start to lose a little confidence, you know, with your offensive abilities. And I think that's a good point. I think you made a really good point there.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, I think something else our coaches talked about after the game that, you know, fans don't really understand is when the closeouts are coming quickly, even though, you know, Duke may not have blocked a shot, it forces you to be out of your rhythm in when you want to shoot the shot. And Nebraska was very, very tardy yesterday, even on rebound putback, on taking the ball, but they have the ball at the eye level, bringing it down almost to the hip to reload and bring it back up, and you just can't do it, you know, in the Sweet 16 level against a team that can close out that well. And, you know, when you know the closeout is coming, you alter your shot, you take it a little quicker, you don't get in rhythm, And that's really the genius of that type of defense that Duke runs, is it disrupts your rhythm. Even though you don't see the block shot, even though it doesn't look like it's altered, you're rushing it and not doing it in a manner that makes you comfortable. And, you know, it lowers your shooting percentage quite a bit.
Yeah, and for the listeners, I'd say, you know, that's kind of what Syracuse has done, you know, in the men's game, is to be able to alter shots and have people, you know, you're going in there and, you know, and you know, there's nothing worse than when you shoot a shot and you know it's going to get blocked. So you, instead of letting it get blocked, you have to alter the change of it, you know what I mean? And they don't go in very often that way.
No, they really don't. And boy, Jim Boeheim is master of zone defense. And I'm not trying at all to compare Duke's defense yesterday to what they were doing, but it's been very effective for Coach McCauley going back to her days at Michigan State when she went to a national championship game. And, you know, when you get to the Sweet 16, everybody's good. I mean, it's, you know, you're not going to play anybody that doesn't do something defensively that's going to try and take you away, and that's what they did yesterday.
Talk with Matt Coatney, voice of the Husker women, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Matt, take me through the 3, 4, 5 possessions there. Nebraska's down double digits. They rattle off, I believe it was 6 in a row. They cut the lead to 6. And I know they had at least 3 straight possessions where they came away empty. A turnover, a near air ball layup that hit the glass but no rim. And they stopped Duke each time there. Duke wasn't pulling away, but Nebraska had the possessions to cut it to 2-3, maybe even tie the game. Can you take me through what you saw there?
Yeah, and, you know, it was one of those situations where you knew those were empty possessions that were really going to stop the Huskers. And, you know, when Jordan Hooper went out with the ankle injury, I really thought that could have went one of two ways. I really thought that might have just ended the game, but it didn't. The bench came through. Megan Williams and Katie Simon hit a couple of big shots. But, you know, as you're bringing up, empty possessions in the Sweet 16 are not going to get it done. And I really thought, you know, especially the layup you're talking about that was, you know, pretty much an air ball, had a lot to do with how Duke's defense had played it up to that time, in which Nebraska really, you know, rushed the shot, was not comfortable in that. I give all the credit in the world to Duke and the way they played their defense. And I give all the credit in the world the way Nebraska's defense. You know, as Connie Yori told me on the bus after the game, if you'd have told us we were going to hold Duke to 53 points, I thought we were going to win the game. So you've got it exactly right. That was a very key part of the game where the Huskers got it down to, you know, 6 points, 2 possessions, and then they just couldn't get back over the hump.
Yeah, Jim Langan again here. And another, this is a negative thing, and I hate to be negative on the radio when we had a pretty good season.
That's my job.
Yeah, is that I thought both teams played kind of poorly the first 3 or 4 minutes of the game. When somebody could have took advantage and maybe got up 8-0, both teams were taking ill-advised shots, wrong people shooting them, not running any type of motion. It was just, you're open and fire. Do you remember that or not? You recall the first 4 minutes?
Yeah, it was pretty ugly. But, again, I think if you go back and look at the tape, the defenses were pretty good. I think the scouting that was done, and I'm going to take my hat off to the Husker coaching staff, especially Jimmy Gray Miller, who had the scout for Nebraska side, and I'm sure Al Brown did that for Duke. You know, when you talk to the coaches after the game, our coaches said there was only one thing they felt like Duke did that they weren't ready for. And so when you see a really ugly, low-scoring, you know, first 4 or 5 minutes like that, it's the teams are coming out and, you know, they expect to run free and easy and then nothing, you know, and that's because the scouting is through it. The few times that Nebraska's been in the NIT tournament, it's always amazing that the Huskers are able to score about 50 in the first half because neither team has a chance to scout to get video on the other team in the NIT tournament, and the offense has just run so well compared to the conference season, because you realize how important scouting is. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I know Nebraska spent more time scouting Duke than any other team this year, and I'm sure Duke did the same thing because they had enough time in a week to do it. And I think a lot of that has to do with just how ugly the first few minutes of that game were. And then, you know, obviously players are nervous. It's a neutral floor. They're not used to the building. So you add all that together, and, you know, it's pretty ugly.
just another minute here with Matt Cotney talking about the Husker women yesterday. Now let's just take a look at where the program's at. It was a great season, second most wins, second trip to the Sweet 16. Great player, and it's fine. I think that we can say he's supposed to be a homer for our ball club, and he gets close to these girls. And I know Lindsay Moore's one of your favorite, if not your favorite, all-time Husker. So huge loss there. But as far as now in hindsight, you get 24 hours basically almost to look at where this season was and where it's got potential for next year. Give us the state of the program right now.
I think it's the golden age of Nebraska women's basketball, clearly. My kids, who are all in college now, are starting to call me someone who's not the dumbest guy in the world. Maybe I know something because I told them 11 years ago, I said, this really is a 10-year plan. I said, if you want to become a program that's always on the national radar, I think it really takes you 10 years. Yeah, you can go out here and get five JUCO kids and maybe kind of peak real quickly. Oklahoma State did that for a couple of years. But if you really want to build the program, it takes 10 years. And you incrementally get a little bit better, and then maybe you take a small step back, and then you get incrementally a little bit better. And I think that's where Connie Yorey has the program now, to where, back in 2010, a Sweet 16 was the greatest thing in the world. And this year, yeah, it was great. But, Nebraska really wanted to get to that Elite Eight. And I think right now, just making the NCAA tournament isn't going to be enough for the program, for the fans, for the players. How great is that? And the recruiting is getting better. I think you're seeing the dominant local players in Nebraska want to come here. I think you're seeing players, Nebraska's poached a kid out of Michigan, right out of the Big Ten, 6'5" Allie Havers, who's an All-State player, is coming here next year. So the state of the program is in great shape. They're not going to have to rebuild any year. They're going to reload. If you look at the classes, every class has a starter or two starters. We have a freshman starter this year in Rachel Terrio. He's going to be the starting point guard next year. That's going to be a pretty seamless transition. I mean, how well is it that a program can lose the best point guard in school history and no one's really worried about the transition? So the program is on great footing. I think it's the golden age of the program, and recruiting is only going to improve coming off this Sweet 16 bounce and going into the new arena next year. I mean, I just think it's a great time to be a Husker fan.
And I'd be remiss, Matt, if I didn't remind folks that I chose Notre Dame to win the women's tournament when everybody took Baylor. So now that Baylor's out, is it Notre Dame or is there another team that can get the job done? Stanford and Baylor both out.
Well, I am never going to intentionally bet against UConn because, as they are called in some circles, the evil empire has proven time and time again, when you bet against them, you lose. And there's been too many times in the women's game over the last few years where a team has had to play another team four times, lost the first three, and then won in the final four. The last time that happened, Texas A&M won a national championship, even though Baylor beat them three times, twice in the regular season, once in the conference tournament. But then they got matched up in the Elite Eight, which, Baylor's coach Kim Mulkey said wasn't fair. Notre Dame and Connecticut would meet in a game before the Final Four, even though Notre Dame has beaten Connecticut. And they have, remember, it wasn't like they ran them over. They had that triple overtime epic, which is one of the best games in college basketball this year. I think Notre Dame's better than Connecticut, quite honestly. But then again, they've played each other so often, and the games have been so close, no one could tell me that it's a slam dunk that Notre Dame is going to beat UConn. So I think Notre Dame has the best player left in the tournament right now in Skylar Diggins. Seeing her up close yesterday was unbelievable, the way she dominated Kansas, especially in the first half. So wouldn't bet against the Irish, but then again, I think it's fool's gold to think that they're favored over Connecticut.
Well, Matthew, always appreciate the time. Look forward to seeing you again soon and talking some more hoops. And best of luck to your Cardinals tonight and throughout the year.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. Love the first day of baseball. And thank you all for having me on so often this year and for everything you guys do. We appreciate it.
Great job, Matt. Thank you so much. Matt Cotney, voice of the Husker women, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, as the women's tournament, now their Elite Eight tonight and tomorrow. The Associated Press has just named their All-American men's basketball team, and Creighton's Doug McDermott is an All-American for the second straight year. Trey Burke of Michigan, Otto Porter Jr. of Georgetown, tied as the leading vote getters for the first team. Victor Oladipo of Indiana and Kelly Olynyk of Gonzaga are also on the first team. Of course, Burke, the only player left in the NCAA tournament. We'll take a break and talk with Kevin Kugler about the men's tournament and make our Major League Baseball predictions. Last night, Houston won the first game of the season. Will Jimmy Langan take Houston because they're 1-0? We'll find out. Stay here.
But it can't. It's a savings account. It can't read where the next fireworks show is in the local paper. Switch to GEICO, and every time you see extra money, you'll know your savings account wants to take you to a fireworks show. But remember, it can't. It doesn't know how to read. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This spring, rethink what a tire can do for you, the environment, and your wallet. It's time to rethink green with Bridgestone. Now through April 30th, buy four select fuel-efficient Bridgestone Ecopia or Eco Product tires, and you could receive a $70 American Express reward card by mail. Bridgestone. Your journey, our passion.
Terms and conditions apply to American Express reward card. Certain limitations apply, including monthly fee of $2 beginning in month 7 after activation. Visit BridgestoneTire.com/promotion for complete terms and cardholder agreement. Card issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation.
Trending now. Final Four is set. 12 games on the baseball schedule. Knicks wins.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. I want to tell you about some exciting menu changes starting this month. From gourmet burgers and eight flavors of real New York-style buffalo wings to prime Nebraska beef and barbecue brisket smoked in-house. I also want to remind you we have the perfect spot for private dining. So whether it's Tommy's birthday party, Sally's going away party, your company Christmas party, or you just want to bring the gang from work down for a drink.
Come on in, let the games begin.
The number one store for exclusive weight loss, sports nutrition, and vitamins is Complete Nutrition. And this week, the first Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of the month, get 22% off everything for our preferred member days. That's 22% off all exclusive weight loss, sports nutrition, vitamins, and herbs. At Complete Nutrition, our focus is asking you the right questions to get you the right products you need to reach your goals. And when it comes to helping you lose weight, increase energy, burn fat, or build muscle mass, nobody gets you results like Complete Nutrition, period. So get in this Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for our preferred member days and save 22% off everything only at Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
Partly sunny skies coming up in our forecast for today with a high temperature near 46 degrees. And then for tonight, it's back to partly to mostly cloudy conditions with a low of 22. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Sam Donaisky. Right now, it's 32.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It's back to non-summer-like conditions, and if you have not gotten your T&L pivot system in, you need to take care of that because it's time to get it into your field to beat the heat this summer and maximize your production in dry conditions with the best water distribution covering your crops and the best reliability for the long haul of an extended heat wave. Contact your T&L irrigation dealer, worldwide headquarters in Hastings, local dealers throughout the state of Nebraska and every state in the nation, plus 60 countries worldwide. T&L's proven hydraulic technology, it works and is easier on you for a lifetime. It's all about putting more money in your pocket. The way you do that, you have the best crops and you keep them hydrated. TNL, they never break down, and if they do, they take care of it right away. Hydraulic system is the way to go. TNL's proven hydraulic technology, easier on you for a lifetime. Kevin Kugler has been following the NCAA tournament, and we got a chance to talk to him a couple of weeks ago, and now we are down to the Final Four, and he had the call yesterday of the Louisville-Duke game, which was a heck of a game, for about 25 minutes before Louisville went on their run, and he joins us, Doug Duda and Jim Langan on today's show. Kevin, how's the jet lag?
It's good. I'm doing just fine. What time is it? What day is it? Do we know any of this stuff? Where am I?
It's opening day in Major League Baseball, and the Huskers are ranked number one in the country. So,
well, then it's obviously 1997. Way to go. I've gone back in time. This is exciting stuff. I'm very pumped up about this.
It's also April 1st, just so you're ready.
Oh. Well, there's the answer there. Sheesh. How you guys doing? Everybody good?
Yeah, we're doing great. You know, we're like everybody else in the country. No brackets are any good, but we shouldn't be surprised, Cougs. Everybody said going into this that it was supposed to be a little wild and willy. One of the number ones got in. I don't think we would have went 4-4-9 for the other seeds, but your take on these Final Four?
Well, and you talk about brackets. I've got three of the four teams still in my Final Four. I filled them out after the Elite Eight, but
I'm doing all right.
I mean, I figured that's the best way to do this. I think the Final Four is going to be very interesting, and people are going to look at this and go, not a lot of number one seeds. I just think the matchups are intriguing. You guys obviously know a little bit about Wichita State, and they're a very physical squad that is not going to shy away from anything Louisville has. I'm going to be anxious to see how Louisville's rotation is going to work without Kevin Ware in there after the horrific injury yesterday in Indianapolis. And Coach Pitino was talking with us afterwards, and he said they're going to move Luke Hancock to the two. They're going to bring a walk-on who played late in that game and give him more playing time. So it's going to be a big change for Louisville, and I'm anxious to see how they handle that without the adrenaline of the win-it-for-Ware motion that they had going on. And then the other game, Syracuse-Michigan, I think is just it's a fascinating matchup because Syracuse has defended so well of late, but we've seen them get beaten this year, and they're going to go against arguably the best player in college basketball this year in Trey Burke. I'm fascinated by that matchup. Will the zone be as effective again, or will John Beilein figure out a way to beat the zone? I think that's a great matchup as well, so I'm really looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah, we just talked about Trey Burke along with Porter from Georgetown being the leading vote getters for AP All-American today. Tell me, how much actually does Ware not being able to play hurt Louisville? Is it going to be 50-50 because now it switches to emotion? I mean, this is a kid that came off the bench.
It is, but he's really the only other guard that they had. You know, they start Siva, they start Smith. Ware was the third guard that rotated into that mix. He was long, lean, and was good for about 7 points a game, although he put 11 up on Oregon the other night. I think it changes because now you're asking guys to play different roles. Hancock's got to step in and play more of a two-guard spot as opposed to playing kind of that roving wing three position that he's been playing for most of the year, and I think that changes things. It doesn't change my thought that Louisville is still the best team that remains in college basketball, at least playing right now. But it does create a short week with a lot of distractions to try to fix this rotation. Now, if anybody can do it, Rick Pitino can do it. The man is a brilliant strategist and a wonderful coach. But this will be a nice test for him to see just exactly how he's able to get this done.
Talking with Kevin Kugler here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He was in Indianapolis enjoying some fine food and fine basketball this past weekend. But as you arrived back in Omaha, was it the River of Tears? Because let's face it, how pissed is Creighton fan that Wichita State's in the Final Four?
It's got to be a real conflicting moment for them. I mean, I can't imagine how they're feeling right now as they look at this team that they beat 2 out of 3 times this year. It's gone to the Final Four. Dirk Chatwin of the Omaha World Herald, who I know you guys are friends with as well, asked the question after when they made the Sweet 16, is it a better season for Wichita? And my response at the time was, well, yeah, it's a better season. They made the Sweet 16. So, yes, your season in college basketball is defined by the 3 weeks in March. That's just always the way it's been. Well, now Wichita State's made the Final Four, so no one's asking that question anymore because by far it's a better season, and I think that will drive Creighton fans batty. I think some of them will jump on board and say, you know what, good for them, showing that a Valley team can get it done. But in the same token, they're coming off of a year in which they have a first-team All-American for the second consecutive year, and they couldn't get to the Sweet 16. It's got to be frustrating for them.
You know, I think one thing is when you look at the Missouri Valley, they have not done very well in the tournament of late. And having Wichita State make the Final Four will at least help Creighton seed maybe in the upcoming years, you know. And talk a little bit about that, or if I'm completely off base.
Well, now that they're moving out of the conference, too, they probably don't care.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. Yeah, that's the point I made was horrible there because they are out of that league, you know. But I would think the Missouri Valley, because I know there's conferences in there that, you know, UNLV, San Diego State, Colorado State, you know, they got five teams in their league. And, I mean, after they got done playing, everybody's going, how'd you get five teams in there? You know, so.
Right. It certainly bolsters the credibility of the Valley. I don't think there's any question about that. It bolsters what the Valley has always said, that they are one of the top mid-major basketball leagues in all of college basketball. And I think even in a year in which and this was a good year for this to happen for them, because their league was down this year. The middle and the back end of the Valley was not very good. And you had Wichita and you had Creighton. And I should say during the season you had Creighton and then you had Wichita, because Creighton, of course, won the regular season and the conference tournament, which is the thing that I think sticks in the craw of fans even more, is that they won the regular season. They won the tournament. Why is this happening? And meanwhile, here's Wichita going from a 9 seed, arguably one of the toughest seeds to get in the NCAA tournament, and winning their way to the Final Four.
Kevin Kugler with us here. Biggest surprise so far in the tournament is?
Biggest surprise, well, outside of Wichita State, which I think is a surprise, but I think the biggest surprise is Syracuse. Syracuse came into this tournament not looking at all like a tournament team. Let's remember, the Big East tournament championship game, which was just a few weeks ago, they played the Louisville Cardinals. Could be, again, the rematch in the national championship game on Monday night. They blew a 16-point lead and lost by 17. They didn't blow a 16-point lead and lose on a last-second shot. They blew a 16-point lead and lost by 17. They had a 33-point turnaround. And when you look at the way they've defended in this tournament, you're trying to figure out how in the world they allowed that to happen. To me, that's the biggest surprise, the turnaround for Syracuse so quickly. And it wasn't just that game against Louisville. They didn't play well down the stretch over the course of the season. They had some real ups and downs, and I'm very surprised by how good they have looked and how stout they've been defensively throughout this tournament.
Yeah, that's a good point, because Syracuse and Louisville have definitely rolled when they've won their games. They have definitely just took off. You know, Wichita State, other than their last 8 minutes, you know, of the game against Ohio State, though, has played fairly well. I'm going to say that maybe Wichita State had an easier road there to get there. You know, they beat Gonzaga, and maybe Gonzaga right. was that good, but they did, you know, they got a little easier road to get to the Ohio State game, and when they played Ohio State, they got up big time, and then they looked really bad the last 8 minutes.
Well, there was a tightening of the sphincter, you could say, for Wichita State over the final 8 minutes of that game. It was a oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh we win, yay, let's go home. It was hard to watch, because I think everybody, I was in a restaurant watching with Coach Gillen and with our producer and a whole bunch of Ohio State fans who were really quiet. And then all of a sudden they started believing, we're going to win this game, we're going to win this game, and then, we're not going to win this game. It was very disappointing. I think Ohio State took them lightly, to be honest with you, in that first half. Everybody had been telling Ohio State for a week, the bracket's wide open for you, the bracket's wide open for you, the bracket's wide open for you. Well, the bracket apparently didn't let Wichita State know that it was wide open for them, and Wichita State closed the door very quickly on Ohio State, and then it's a remarkable story. I think for the Big Ten's purposes, it's a good thing that Michigan got in, because I think there was a torrent of criticism that was ready to be unleashed towards the Big Ten Conference if they didn't have at least one rep after the season they had in the Final Four.
Louisville, 10.5-point favorite over Wichita State. Michigan, a 2.5-point favorite over Syracuse. Kevin Kugler, is Louisville a lot better than the other three, or just a little bit better than the other three?
The way they're playing right now, they're a lot better than the other three. And I, you know, I'm no dog in the fight. I my hope is three good games, two on Saturday, one on Monday. I don't care who wins. I don't care who loses. I'd prefer no more injuries like we had yesterday with Kevin Ware. Other than that, I'm happy with whatever happens in these games. I'd just like them to be good games and compelling games. That said, we've had the narrative all year long in college basketball. There's no overwhelming team. Louisville over the last couple of months has done a really good job impersonating, if it's the case. If there's not an overwhelming team, they've done a real good job impersonating an overwhelming team. Their one loss since late January, five overtimes to Notre Dame. So it's not like they got blown out of anything. This is a team that plays a great system. It is not loaded with NBA talent, which I think should be refreshing for college basketball fans. These are guys who have been developed in a system by a coach who is a wonderful developer of talent at the college level in Rick Pitino. Gorgui Dieng was couldn't hit a shot when he came to Louisville 3 years ago. Now he's got a great mid-range game, and he's one of the best defensive players in college basketball. Peyton Siva is a magician with the ball, runs the break, and manages the press exceptionally well. Russ Smith was a prolific scorer out of high school, scored 2 points a game in his freshman year, and was ready to walk away from the Louisville program, and is now one of the most electric players in the country 2 years later. Rick Pitino should get so much credit for this. They're a really good team, and I don't think people expect them to be a very good team, because all year long people have been saying, there's no great team this year in college basketball. I think they're a pretty good team, and they're a team that college basketball fans should really like, because there are a lot of veterans who've stayed around and worked in a system.
Yeah, and Louisville plays, you know, the whole floor. I mean, they got a little trouble with Duke, and they finally had to get back and play defense man-to-man there in the second half, because they were generating some offense for Duke. But you're right. Louisville might be the real deal. And, you know, they really, really, really are entertaining and kind of fun to watch, too. And I just can't see Wichita State going in there and beating Louisville. I just can't see that. I can see the other two beating Louisville. But I think Louisville, because they've got this 10.5, you know, point favorite game, they've got a really good chance to get to the championship game.
Oh, I don't disagree with you. I will say this, though. Wichita is not going to be the least bit intimidated by them. Now, the question is going to be, can Wichita handle their press? And I think that's where the problems are going to occur for Wichita State. Can their guard handle the pressure that Louisville is going to place on them? I think that's going to be a real tall task for them to manage. That said, they're certainly not going to be intimidated. And I think one of the plans that you have to go into any game with Louisville, get Dieng in foul trouble. If Dieng gets in foul trouble, that safety net is gone from behind Peyton Siva and Russ Smith, which keeps them from being as aggressive as they'd like to be at the top of the press, because if they're reaching and grabbing at the top of the press and Dieng's not back there, that's a big problem.
Yeah, that's a good point. Wichita State does have a player possibly that could get him into foul trouble. You know, the last point I'll make is, you know, we talk about Wichita State and Creighton, what the people think about that. What do you think Louisville felt last year when they watched who won the national championship?
Well, and then they lost to that team on the way to the national championship in the Final Four last year. There's no question that Kentucky's win and Louisville's subsequent loss as a result of Kentucky winning against them in the Final Four, that has been a big driving point for Louisville this season. We asked one of the players that this week, and he said, yeah, it's been a motivation for us. We're trying to get ourselves back to the Final Four. They've had this goal all along. Didn't cut the nets down after they won the Big East tournament. Didn't cut the nets down yesterday after winning the regional. This team has one net that they want, and that's the net in Atlanta on Monday night, and they refuse to cut down a net until they get that one.
I'd sneak in Sunday and cut it down just in case. Did you get the tomato juice or the beans at St. Elmo's?
Bean soup, had the cheddar mash, had an 8-ounce filet, because, you know, I like to watch my girlish figure. medium rare, as any red-blooded American will have their steak, medium rare. So you get a little bit of, you know, a little cool pink in the middle of that. That's always good. And a nice glass of wine. It was a fabulous Easter dinner. I missed my family, but it was a nice second-place consolation prize for me to have dinner at St. Elmo's last night.
Jeez, Big Daddy. Did you get a manicure and a pedicure, too?
Shrimp cocktail, baby. That's what I had. Shrimp cocktail. I didn't need a manicure and pedicure. That shrimp cocktail sauce at St. Elmo's to clear anything out of you. It made my fingernails fall off. That's how spicy that is.
It is good stuff. Home run. Kevin, hey, thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show as always, and I know you'll be tuning into the spring game.
I cannot wait. Is that this weekend? Oh, yes, go. Yeah, that'll be great. I think the red is installed, as I understand it, as a 5-point favorite. So talk to your local person who's in charge of that.
I will do so. Kev, thanks for the time, man.
See ya. Bye.
Kevin Kugler, joining Doug Duda and Jim Langan here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So many options. Spring game on Big Ten Network, call national championship and semifinal game. Just busy guy. Here's our poll question, our Midtown Mart poll question. Over the weekend, which team is your pick to win the World Series? 46% of you took the Washington Nationals. Angels and Blue Jays were tied for second. Our poll question today, which team are you rooting for to win the national championship? Which team are you, not who do you think's going to win, which team are you rooting for? That's our Midtown Mart poll question today. Louisville, Michigan, Syracuse, Wichita State. Which team are you rooting for, Jimmy?
Ladies and gentlemen, your Kansas City Royals.
That is not fair. I'll tell you what, that's tough because I've kind of been the anti-Louisville. I thought they would, you know, I know they were good. I just thought that they were going to be undisciplined enough to get beat. And it doesn't appear that way. I think once it's on the screen, you kind of always, in the second half, you go, wait a minute, why am I rooting for these guys? You gut reaction. I think I'm going to be rooting for Syracuse. I think that's the team I'm going to be rooting for. Seriously, I care less if Wichita State wins. They beat Nebraska in the NIT once. I didn't like it. That was just a couple years ago, wasn't it? That was rough. It was rough. So, and I don't want Louisville. And Michigan, yeah, Big Ten, yeah. Trey Burke, good. I'm going to be rooting for Syracuse. We'll be back and make our Major League Baseball predictions, give you our World Series champions, and finish up the Doug and Daddy show after this.
And now, another great hit from Flo. Discounts from Progressive are good.
Why is a strike bad in baseball if it's good in bowling? And then someone told me about a basketball strike. That sounds bad, but I'm not quite sure. But I think we all can agree it's good to get discounts from Progressive.
Progressive offers lots of discounts to help you save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states.
So why not do the same for your Red Wing work boots? At a Red Wing shoe store, you'll find everything you need to stay comfortable on the job. From moisture-wicking socks to removable footbeds and boot care products. So come talk with our fit experts today for handcrafted footwear and accessories to boot. Red Wing Shoes. Work is our work.
Trending now. Louisville and Michigan win. Join Syracuse and Wichita State in the Final Four.
Lose 30 pounds in only 3 weeks? Really? If you're frustrated with outrageous weight loss promises, Complete Nutrition is about to change that. Try Refirm, the first ever and only weight loss product on the market that actually shrinks fat cells.
This is Dr. Lisa Stout. I'm excited to tell you about the breakthrough weight loss product from Complete Nutrition called Refirm. Refirm does something you've never experienced. It actually shrinks fat cells, and that means losing weight and fitting into your clothes faster.
Refirm revs up energy and metabolism, but also shrinks fat cells. Hurry into your neighborhood Complete Nutrition store while supplies last. Please note, if you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, visit your Complete Nutrition store to adjust your plan.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
ShopWheelerDealer.com is online and waiting for you to shop and buy gift certificates to local businesses anytime, not just 2 hours a week. ShopWheelerDealer.com, where you'll find dozens of gift certificates. Shop and buy 24 hours a day and save a ton of money in the process. Type ShopWheelerDealer.com in your internet browser or click on the website link on ESPNSuperstation.com.
Show Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you. Tomorrow, Damon Day is in on the program with some more great guests. Hall of Fame, we're going to talk about here in a moment. We're going to have some of those Nebraska High School Hall of Famers that were just announced over the weekend joining us on the program throughout the week. And then again, we'll save one or two of them for the week of the induction ceremony. So that's coming up. Spring games this week. We'll catch up with some of our favorite Husker folks and a whole lot more. But here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, we want to remind you that your Midway Auto Dealership dealerships are on South 2nd Avenue, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, and Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, where right now they've got the Jeep Grand Cherokee with over $5,000 on the manufacturer's suggested retail price right back from the manufacturer. They're taking it off the top. They've got Dodge Avengers and Dodge Darts in stock. Maybe you're looking for an economy car. How about the Chevy Spark starting at under $14,000? Always a great selection of new trucks. And if you're looking for a pre-owned vehicle, they have got a great selection. As we were talking with Andy from Midway last week, they have some very, very quality pre-owned vehicles. They always have quality, but he's just saying right now they even have probably a greater selection in your price range from wherever you need to wherever you go. It is there for you at the Midway Auto Dealerships. ThinkMidway.com. You can check out everything on the line. Think Midway. It's a better way. And Jimmy Langan, let's make some Major League Baseball predictions here. I looked over what ESPN said, all their projections, and it seems to me that there's really I couldn't even find anybody to go out on a limb here. You know, every once in a while you see a goofball, and there was a Royal. Aaron Boone said the Royals are going to get a wild card, but it seems to me that the American League is much more balanced this year than the National League, and that may not be the case, but nobody is picking the Red Sox or the Yankees to make it, and that just seems incredible to me. Are you picking either the Red Sox or the Yankees to at least make the playoffs?
No, I'm not.
All right, let's go down. I'm in the American League East, I'm going to take Tampa Bay to win it.
Okay, in the American League East, you've got Tampa Bay. I'm going to go Tampa Bay is what I've got down right here.
Okay. In the Central, I took Detroit. It seems like Detroit is maybe the most overwhelming favorite. You got Detroit?
Yep, that's what I have.
All right. And I'm going to take the Angels in the West. And maybe they don't have enough pitching, but
Well, the only long shot I actually took on the whole thing was the Seattle Mariners, and I've got them beating the Angels. I got the Angels getting a wild card, but I have the Seattle Mariners. They've done a lot to their lineup. They already had one really good pitcher, but they've really switched their lineup around, and I think maybe they did the right thing. We'll see.
Yeah, that's a.
But that is the long shot.
I always love going out on a limb here, and I don't know the Angels. I took the Angels. My wild cards are Texas and Baltimore. Who was your other wild card?
Toronto Blue Jays and the Angels were the two wild cards.
I think Buck Showalter is a outstanding manager, so I'm going to take him. So that's what we've got in the American League. In the National League, I'll take what everybody else is taking. I guess I'll take the Washington Nationals there in the East.
Yeah, I got the Nationals.
In the Central. Oh, the Cubs are just too terrible to even try and jinx them. I'm going to take the Cincinnati Reds.
Easily. The Nationals and the Reds are easily going to win their division just like Detroit is.
And in the West, I'm going to take the Dodgers.
That's a really tough group. The San Diego Padres are really going to be improved, but I've got the Dodgers and the Giants in a heck of a battle all year long. You had to pick one. I picked the Giants to win it and the Dodgers to be the wild card.
Who's your other wild card?
I took the Braves, and I had the Braves losing to the Dodgers in the first round.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. Thank you. I also take the Braves because, well, that's what I do. And I'm taking the St. Louis Cardinals to get the other wild card there. I think maybe Arizona's got a chance there in the West. So that's what we've got now in the World Series. Who you got?
I've got the Nationals and the Tigers playing each other.
I also took the Tigers because I think the Angels don't have enough pitching. Texas, they've had their chances, so I'm eliminating them. Tampa Bay and Baltimore, Detroit's just, I would think, better. And in the National League, I'm taking the Dodgers. And for some reason, I am taking the Dodgers to win the 2013 World Series. Dodgers over Detroit. I thought about the Angels, but as you kind of told me, maybe not enough pitching for the Angels. So I'm going to take the Dodgers over Detroit. And you pick?
Detroit over the Nationals.
That is a very popular pick. Detroit and the Nationals are two of the popular picks, but you know what? Why they're popular? Because it's probably going to be right.
Well, if Seattle could win this thing, I'll be very tickled, but we'll see.
You'll be more than tickled, it sounds like to me. A couple of other sports mentions here. We've talked a lot of basketball today. Major League Baseball just getting underway. The football team will practice again today. The spring game coming up on Saturday. The volleyball team had a spring game with South Dakota, beat them 3-1 on Saturday, just getting out of the sand. Baseball team, an 8-6 win yesterday. They sweep Northwestern. They're 5-1 of the conference. They play at Kansas State tomorrow and then at Iowa this weekend. They also pick up a commit from left-handed pitcher Jake McSteen out of Great Falls, Virginia. UNK baseball went 1-2. The Loper softball 0-2 and rained out Saturday. Hastings baseball went 1-3, and the softball had the weekend off. The 20th induction ceremony for the Nebraska High School Sports Hall of Fame will be September 15th in Lincoln. And this year's class, you have to be out 15 years, Jimmy. There's only one high school athlete from the class of 98 in there. You usually see two or three right off the bat, and you would never guess who it is.
Nope, I won't even try to guess. It's April Fool's Day. I'm not even going to play an April Fool or try this.
And very deserving. I mean, there's no fluke about this. It's the first four-time All-Nebraska softball player, the first female at Papillion-La Vista to earn 12 varsity letters, the state's Gatorade Player of the Year as a senior. They won three state titles, and Lee Sert also played basketball and soccer. And at Nebraska, of course, she lettered 4 years in softball. And then her father, Gene Sewer, is also going in. Of course, Gene taught me a little bit in high school, but he started at Ord, then he went to Papillion-La Vista, where he was 174-74 in his career, won a couple of state championships, was in the state final five times. And he's going in. Also, Dennis Traster from Southwest, Republican Valley, whatever it was, while he coached, because he did it for 40 years.
Had a tremendous lot of success there. Very good man. Was at, you know, like you said, he coached girls basketball and volleyball both for a lot of years.
And somebody a lot of folks around here might know, Tom McCann of Kearney High, is going in. Spent 42 years as the Kearney High wrestling coach. We're going to talk with him Wednesday on the show. Some of the other athletes that are going in, Michelle Cush at Gibbon. And they're also being honored as the Silver Anniversary Team. And then their comeback in the final seconds against Fremont Bergen is going to be the great moment in high school sports. I'm guessing there won't be any Bergen people there for that moment.
No, I would say not. Yeah, Gibbon scored late in the game.
Five points.
Yes, scored late,
seconds.
And then on the inbounds pass, they threw it away, and the girl fouled a Gibbon girl, and she calmly went to the free throw line and made two free throws, something Kansas could not do the other day.
Cost of Nicole Kubik's going in, and Matt Davison is going in. He was the athlete of the year in the state in 1997. Of course, everybody remembers him from the catch. He's going in. Some other folks that are going in as far as athletes, Kelly Cheesick of Millard South, Reggie Smith, graduate of 66 from West Point Central Catholic, Bill Hawkins, 52 from Beatrice. He was the Lincoln Journal Star Athlete of the Year. John Sherlock, a 79 graduate of Omaha South and the World Herald Athlete of the Year. Donna Chivadal Schutz from North Bend. I hope I got that right. 1982. And Terry Williams from Omaha Central, who is an outstanding track athlete, among other things. All going into the Hall of Fame, and we will be talking with some of those folks later on in the week. 2 weeks to go for the Tri-City Storm, and I guess at this point you have to say thank goodness. They're out of the playoff race. They lost both games over the weekend. They have two home games to go. One of them is on Saturday, so we'll see if they can have some fun here in these final four games. There's nothing to play for. Go out and see how much fun you can have. That's what it's all – I mean, when you're out of it, Jimmy, you've coached long enough. There's a point where you say – let's just try to have some fun out here and finish the season with some good memories, because that's really what they're at right now.
Yeah, and if you can knock somebody off maybe a little bit better, have a little revenge game. It's nice to have that one revenge game if somebody's already beaten you a couple times. So, right.
All right, gang. We want to say thanks to all the folks that gave us emails today. We were talking about the last big win that Nebraska has had in any sport, a significant taking you that next step. You can continue to email us when the last significant Nebraska win was in any sport. I think we nailed it down, or we've agreed that maybe it was winning the first College World Series game was the last time a Nebraska program took that next step that all the fans were hoping that they would take. So we want to thank Matt Coatney, voice of the Nebraska women, Kevin Kugler, Dial Global, and of course Nebraska native who is calling the Final Four, for joining us on the program today. And Jimmy Langan says the Detroit Tigers will win the World Series. I'm taking the Los Angeles Dodgers. We'll see how close we are. I'm sure you're going to be closer.
I don't know who's going to win it, but I know who we're cheering for in the All-Star game.
We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Thanks for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.